who is this Jesus? And I would like to make the subtitle, God in the Form of a Man. I would like to bring some things to your attention tonight. If you're the type that likes to take Scripture and try to make it fit your tradition so you will feel comfortable, you might not like the message tonight. But if you are a lover of truth, if you will obey the Word of God and believe it no matter what it says, and if it cuts across your theology and ideas, if you'll quickly and willingly and happily change any idea to any truth of God's Word that's clearly and plainly shown, then I think you'll be delighted with the message. We must understand that God is revealing new truth and will continue to reveal new truth. We must not put ourselves in a place where we feel like, this is what I've always believed, and I'm going to resist everything that's different, and everything that's different is automatically wrong. That is a very unwise, bigoted position to be in. As though you automatically have all truth, wherever you happen to have been, whatever you haven't been told, is all 100% right. We must always be open to that which is true. Now, I know what constitutes proof, and I know what is interpretation. And excepting for one area that I will point out to you tonight when we get there, I think what I have is incontrovertible evidence that there's no question on, that we can be dogmatic on. This is an absolute fact, clearly taught, that is inescapable conclusion. And it's not open for, well, I don't believe that, or I don't want to believe that. If your heart is open to the truth, you've got to believe it, because it's right there. And if it disagrees with what you believe, then you should change what you believe to line up to it, because it's the Word of God. There's too many people that can't come into truth because they've already got their minds like concrete. It's all mixed up and permanently set. And they're right there, and they're never going to change it. They're never going to learn the rest of their life. But you know, we're ever learning and modifying, and as we are seeing, God's Word expand, and we'll continue to do that. This is a continual unfolding of the revelation of God Himself. Genesis chapter 32. Now pay very close attention, if you will, to everything I say, and then you'll understand the truth. Find the Scriptures as quickly as possible. We've got quite a ways to travel. We'll go through it as quickly as possible. Genesis 32, verse 24. And Jacob was left alone. When you're going to do business with God, there's times you got to be alone. And there he wrestled a man. I want you to notice who he wrestled. A man. With him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched, that is the angel, the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, the angel did, that is the man, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he, Jacob, said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Now, apparently he knew that this man had a power to bless him. Therefore, he knew that though he called him a man because he was in the form of a man, but he must have known he was more than a man. And this must have been more than a physical wrestling match, because he wanted a blessing. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, deceiver. Jacob, that's what it means, the deceiver. And he said, thy name shall no more be Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with Elohim, with God. The Hebrew is Elohim. You have power with God. You have power with God because you have prevailed. And with men. And with men, you got no more you a deceiver of the flesh, but now you're a spirit man. You're Israel. You're a prince with El, a prince with God. For you have power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. You have prevailed upon me to bless you with power with God and men. And Jacob asked him, and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. Who art thou?" And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? How come you asking my name?" Well, that's a reasonable enough question in the natural, but this wasn't the natural. Neither was it the time for the revelation. And he blessed him there, but he didn't give him the name. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen El face to face. Peniel, for I have seen God face to face. He knew, and he said, and my life is preserved. What does that mean? The Bible says no man can see God at any time and live. He knew that the one he was wrestling with in this spiritual wrestling was none other than El, God. And he called the name of the place Peniel. For I've seen God face to face, he hasn't killed me. But he wouldn't tell me his name. But he came in the form of a man. But his name was secret. Now, Hosea chapter 12, verses 2 through 5. After this time, we find that the scripture says in the next two verses that he halted upon his thigh, for the sinew of the thigh shrunk. In other words, his flesh shrunk, and the old flesh man limped from then on as a sign that God had taken away that weakened that flesh man, struck a blow to that flesh man, and now made him a spiritual man. And so we see in the book of Hosea, chapter 12, this reference, verse 2. The Lord, and most of you know this, but some of you don't, so let me explain. You see the word Lord there? How are the letters formed? What is the type? All capitals with an extra large L. When in the King James Bible, if that's what you're using, then it would be all capitals and extra large L. The key in the King James Bible is, for the Hebrew, is if the word is Yahweh, or the later form is called Jehovah, more correctly Yahweh, which is his name, this is my name forever, then it's all caps. And whenever you see Lord in all caps, you know it's Yahweh, the name. But when you see it capital L, small O-R-D, it's Adonai, and it means Lord. As master, it means you're sovereign. He's Lord, but it's not his name. If it's small L, small O-R-D, then it's Adon, it means sir or master, like a king or a captain or a sir called Abraham Lord. Now here we find it's Yahweh. Which is the same as Jehovah, it's the older form. Yahweh hath also a controversy with Judah, and will punish Jacob, that's the old man after the flesh, and all those that come from him and spiritually in that way, according to his ways, according to his doings, will he recompense him. Clear at this time, he's talking about Jacob. He's not talking about the man, he's talking about all that are spiritually Jacob, that come out from that man. From his ways. And then he goes back and talks about that man and what the change that God made. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. That's when Jacob took a hold of Esau by the heel before he was born. And by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel. Now he calls him an angel. The word means messenger, because there's a devil and his angels, the devil and his messengers, and there's God and his messengers, and sometimes the apostles are even called angels, messengers, and even the pastor of these seven churches, the angel of each church, that is the messenger of the church, because angels are not over churches, men are, but it's a messenger. This is a messenger. He's an angel. He's a messenger of God, and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and therefore he speak with us. Even the Lord God. Even the Hebrew is Yahweh Elohim of hosts. The Yahweh is his memorial. Now he lets us know that this one was in the form of a man. So we call him a man. Yet he was a messenger from God. He came from God in the form of a man to do a job. So he's called an angel. Yet he called him El. And yet here, he is said to be none other than Yahweh Elohim. That is the one the scripture speaks about in Genesis. The one who brought the flood. And the one who did all these things. Yahweh Elohim. And there's a scripture that says, Yahweh thy Elohim is a mighty El. Now this is the same one that appeared to Manoah and his wife. When God was telling them they would bring forth Samson, mighty man, to defeat the Philistines. And there is a type in that. Judges chapter 13, please turn there. There's going to be some new truths here, even for you that have heard this message in many of its forms before. Judges 13:3. Now notice, at this time, and the angel of the Lord. In the Bible, there is always a distinction made between an angel and the angel of the Lord. Whenever it says an angel, you know he means one of the created spirit beings called angels. Whenever he says the, with the article, angel of Yahweh, you know he means Yahweh himself in an angelic, coming as a messenger, that's what angel means, messenger, in the form of a man usually, in a man's form, either with or without effulgence or glory, but it's God himself. Now we'll prove this, we just got through proving it, and the angel of the Lord was called Yahweh Elohim. Now look here. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman, that's Manoah's wife, and said unto her, Behold, now thou art barren, and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Typical of the church that's barren, but's going to have a Samson, a man-child, in the womb, that's going to deliver them from the Philistines, from the enemy, from the devil, with Goliath, the type of the devil. Now, therefore, beware, I pray, and so forth. And in verse 6, Then the woman came and told her husband, saying, A man of God came unto me. A man of Elohim. Before it was called the angel of Yahweh, now she calls him a man, just like Jacob did, a man of God. So that was his form. He came as a man. And in that same verse, he said, And his countenance was like the countenance of an angel of God. Like a messenger of God, his countenance. He was in the form of a man, but he had a countenance about him like a light, you know, shining from him. Very terrible. But I asked him not whence he was, neither told me his name. Verse 8. Then Manoah entreated the Lord, Yahweh, and said, O my Adonai, O my Lord, let the man of God which thou didst send come again. He did send as a messenger, see, to us. And teach us what we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah. Now you say, oh yes, but I notice here in verse 8 that Manoah entreated Yahweh about the man that he sent. So how can it be he himself if he was entreating the man that he sent? I say it can be. And I say the proof of it is in verse 21. That's part of the proof. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then, time key, Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. See, when Manoah said that, he did not know that. When he prayed, he did not know that. When he said, Lord, Yahweh, send that angel back again, He was talking about this, but he did not know he was the angel of the Lord. But after this whole thing's over, the scripture, and he saw him jump into the fire and go up, he said he knew that he was the angel of the Lord. Now, I'll get to that in a minute again. Look at verse 17. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is thy name, that when thy sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor? He didn't know he was the angel of Yahweh yet. And the angel of Yahweh said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it is secret? Why are you asking after my name? The same thing he said to Jacob. Both were called a man, both the angel of the Lord, and both, it's a secret, or it can be translated, it is wonderful. Isaiah 9:6, his name should be called Wonderful. It's wonderful. That is, it's a secret. It's too wonderful for you. It's not given at this dispensation age. Why are you asking this dispensation? Because he didn't know not to ask, but the answer revealed to him, it was out of the time period to be asking. Now, look again, and then verse 18. And the angel of the Lord said, then look at verse 21 again now. Notice how Manoah thought about this, angel of Yahweh. He prayed to Yahweh that he might send the angel back, but when he knew it was the angel of the Lord, who did he think he was? Look. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah and to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen Elohim. We have seen God. When he knew it was an angel of the Lord, he knew it was God. He equated the two as being the same. And he said this same thing almost, but in a little different way than Jacob. Jacob said, and my life is preserved. He said, we're going to die. And his wife went on to say, no, we're not going to die. God's not going to show himself to us and then kill us. He said he's going to bring forth a son. And so she was, see, he was going by the word. She was going by the spirit of the thing and the emotions. She was going by that woman's intuition, which says, God's not going to do that. And he said, well, I don't think about that. All I know is this is the law of God, see. But no man can see him as he really is. But you can see him as he manifests himself. Jacob saw him face to face as a man. And he saw him again in the form of a man, although he had effulgence coming from him apparently, because it talks about, as an angel of the Lord. The angel of Yahweh, called that the angel of Yahweh, also appeared to Hagar and Ishmael as they were out in the wilderness dying. The angel of Yahweh. That meaning Yahweh himself in a theophanic revelation, very form, in the form of a man, appeared to them as a messenger of God. See, God appears as a messenger of himself. He sends himself in the form of a man as the messenger of Yahweh to them and directed them to water he caused forth to come in the desert that they might live. Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, appeared unto Abraham on Mount Moriah to stop him from slaying Isaac and pointing him toward a substitute sacrifice which represented Jesus Christ in the bush. Isaac represented Christ till he got to the top of the mountain, and then God changed the type to the ram in the bush at that moment, and it was Yahweh himself who spoke and said, withhold thy hand, the angel of the Lord said, the angel of the Lord, withhold thy hand, do thy son no harm, for now I know that you love me more than God. It talked as God himself. It was Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, who appeared unto Balaam, who was riding his ass, and the angel revealed himself unto the ass, but he was invisible that moment to Balaam, who was beating that ass, trying to get him to go, and the ass crushed his foot against a wall, and he beat him some more, And then he spoke forth unto Balaam, the prophet who told him not to curse Israel, and you go and speak only that which I give you to speak, and so forth. Israel was standing in the balance at this time in history. It was Yahweh, the angel of Yahweh, that appeared unto Elijah after he had revealed that Elohim is Yahweh, and they had slain the prophets of Ahab and the prophets of Jezebel. And then Jezebel was out after him, her army was out after him. He despaired of his life, and when he despaired of his life, after revealing who God was and getting rid of the false prophets, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him, baked him a cake, which was more like cornbread, more like wheat bread, and gave it to him, and gave him supernatural strength to go in the power of it for 40 days. It was the angel of the Lord that directed Elijah to meet the messengers of the king of Samaria, who was going up to inquire of Beelzebub, which is the devil himself, to false gods. And was Yahweh himself sent himself in the angel of the Lord to Elijah to direct him to go up to the messengers of the king of Samaria. It was the angel of Yahweh who appeared and smote the Assyrians as they were encamped in the valley as they came down against good King Hezekiah of Judah. And when they woke up after Hezekiah's people prayed all night, they woke up in the morning, went out and looked in the valley to see if the enemy was still there, and they were all dead. It was the angel, one, God Yahweh himself, who came through there like a death angel that came over Egypt that night. In Psalms 34:7, the scripture promises that the angel of Yahweh shall camp around those that fear him, and he shall deliver them. It's the angel of Yahweh himself that shall camp around God's people. It's himself that camps around, just like he was in the glory cloud at the Red Sea. Now turn to the book of Zechariah, if you will, please. Next to the last chapter in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 1. Now, who was this one that appeared unto Jacob? Who was this one that appeared to Elijah and all these that we have mentioned tonight? Was it Jesus? Was it Jesus? Now, we have to be very careful here how we answer. If we mean, was it the Son of God? The answer is no. Because the scripture clearly says in Isaiah 9:6 that unto us a child shall be born and a son shall be given and so forth, talking about Jesus which is to come. It clearly teaches us that he was born in Bethlehem of Judea at a particular time. It clearly teaches us that he is called the Son of Man. His mother was Mary. That the Holy Ghost overshadowed him, the power of the highest, and that which is begotten of him is begotten of the Holy Ghost, and he was born of a woman, made under the law, made like unto his brethren, and became partaker of flesh and blood with him, and so forth. Now, Mary, the power of the highest overshadowed Mary. She had an ovum, according to her time of month, that needed a male sperm to fertilize it and combine to go through that miracle, make that miracle of life and miracle of birth. Now, the woman does not possess that alone to make a child. You women all know that. Part of the Athanasian Creed, and this is why I don't believe in following all kinds of creeds made after this creed, the Bible. The Athanasian Creed says that Jesus derived his humanity from Mary and his divinity from God. That is not scriptural. Athanasius was very confused. As though Mary could produce a man by herself. It needed a male, not angelic being. Angels cannot procreate with men like people teach that the giants back in the Genesis caused by angels pre-procreating. That contradicts the words of Jesus himself that says there is neither male nor female in heaven, but you are as but will be as the angels of heaven. Neutersex. They are not male. They cannot have intercourse with women. That is not what he was talking about back there in Genesis. Those were not big giants that came from angels and men. And there was no reason to think there'd be giants, even if it came from angels anyway. That is not what it means at all. It's not a divine substance that comes with a human substance. If you know anything about biology and genetics, the female requires a male counterpart for the workings and all the DNA and the chromosomes of each and everything to develop and multiply. It needs a male with a female to make a child. But without knowing a man, after a sexual manner, she had a child because God created in her what was missing. And it didn't come from Joseph either. It wasn't a transplant. It was created. But it was a male substance necessary. It was a male sperm, if you please. You'd never get a man otherwise. He's made like unto his brethren. Didn't say he was made some sort of hybrid totem quid, some strange, weird creature different. He is made like unto his brethren with flesh and bones like we have. He was Adam. He's called the last Adam. He's Adam of the earth. Son of man. He's called so. But he was God manifest in this full human flesh. So if we are saying, was this Jesus after the flesh? No. Because Jesus Christ of Galilee had half of his chromosomes and characteristics, both behavior characteristics and physical characteristics, from his mother, Mary. And there's no way that a man can pre-exist before he's born forever in heaven as a man where flesh and blood cannot be. Nor can he start on earth someplace and exist all during the time of the old covenant. Where did he live? What was his name? Where did he live all this time? What was he in the wilderness? And then get back small back into Mary again and come out the same way coming from her chromosomes. Can't be possible. It cannot be the same man. Cannot be the same man. So after the flesh, it was not the Son of God. It was not the Christ, which means the anointed one. And the greater always anoints the lesser, who's the anointed one. And angels are never called Christ or anointed. It's man that is anointed. They are not part of Christ, part of the body of Christ. Only people are. After the manner of man, this one was not Jesus Christ. He didn't come yet. If we're talking about, is it the same deity as was Jesus? Then the answer is yes. But deity is not a son, because deity does not have a beginning. Son is that which is brought forth. As deity, he is called the Father, because the Father is that which brings forth. God brings forth. The Son is his humanity. Son has the beginning. It comes forth. The Father is from everlasting to everlasting. And so Jesus Christ, the Son of God and the Son of Man, his humanity is the Son of God and the Son of Man, coming both created from God and from Mary. But as to his divinity, he is not the Son. He said, my Father and I are one. Before Abraham was, I am. He existed before. But as deity, now God does not pre-exist. God has always existed. He is eternal. Men have used wrong terms. I'm trying to help you to throw away some terms that are not scriptural and not reasonable, do not fit the scripture. He is not pre-existent. He is eternal. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. Now, that's scripture terms. If you like scripture terms, I'm giving you scripture terms. If you want to invent terms and make them up and stand a risk of them not fitting, then you talk about God the Son, which the Bible never mentions anywhere. Now, let's go on here and show what I want to show you here. Let's look at Zechariah chapter 1. Who is this Jesus? Remember now, he was a man, and he was an angel of the Lord. He was a messenger, and he was Elohim, Yahweh Elohim. He was also El. Okay, Zechariah 1:10. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, here is one called a man again. These are they whom Yahweh has sent to walk to and fro in the earth. Okay, now this man talked about Yahweh. Then verse 11. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro in the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. So the angel of Yahweh he is. Look at verse 12. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Yahweh of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against whom thou hast had indignation these 70 years? And Yahweh answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. Now, you see, here, the angel of Yahweh cried out to Yahweh, and Yahweh talked to the angel of Yahweh. So now, can they be the same? If they can't, we are already in trouble, because we already have scriptural precedent showing that the angel of the Lord is Yahweh himself. Now, Jesus was God, right? Jesus prayed, but Jesus was in the form of a man. He was incarnate in flesh. But he prayed to God. And so it was the man who was doing the praying. And so because this one is as manifest as a man, it is the lips of a man, it is man praying. Kind of like Jesus when he spoke and he prayed, and then it said, he told you that the only reason he prayed was that they might heal. He said, for he knew what he would do. He knew what he would do. But he prayed that they, because they didn't understand, they might see him from that standpoint praying. But he was still God. Now, you feel the Holy Ghost, don't you? Now, if you got God in you, how many have God in you? When you pray, do you now, supposing the Spirit comes on your behalf and the Spirit prayeth. The Bible says, and the Spirit prayeth. Who does the Spirit pray to? Himself? Does God pray to himself? Does God pray? Does God pray to somebody, another God? Why would God pray to God? Didn't God know all things? Did God have to pray? You see what's happened when the spirit of man is praying, when God comes to a rescue, and God begins to, who knows the mind of the spirit, our human spirit, and intercedes for us, he quickens our human spirit to ask of him that which he knows and wants us to ask. It's kind of like him both to will and gives us the will to even will to ask him. But now, let's go on and prove this. Who this one really is. Let's look at verses 14 and 15. So, after this prayer, so the angel that communed with me said unto me, cry thou, saying, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with great jealousy. For I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Now he's standing in, he says, thus saith the Lord, and he's standing in for Yahweh. And look at chapter 3, verse 1. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Verse 3, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel, and answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And he said unto him, and unto him he said, and so this angel says, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee. How can an angel do that? And I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. It's like when they said to Jesus, you know, who are you to forgive sins? No man can forgive sins but God only. And they were right. And that's what he was doing. But he was doing it through the form of a man. And I said, let them set a film mitre upon his head. So they set a film mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my charge, then thou shalt also keep, judge my house, and shalt also keep my courts, and I will give thee places to walk among these that stand by. Here the angel is speaking as Yahweh himself, as the other scripture said he was, Yahweh himself. Now, let's go back to the book of Exodus a minute. No, wait a minute. Let's go to chapter 12 first. And verse 8. Now, notice here, a prophecy about the battle of Armageddon and the second coming of Christ to usher in the millennium. In that day shall the Lord, notice Yahweh, in that day shall Yahweh defend the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and he that is feeble among them in that day shall be as David, and the house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. And now he equates God with the angel of the Lord. The house of David shall be as God, as the angel of the Lord before them. Now, also, if you look in verse 10, you see who that Yahweh was. And I will pour out upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. For they shall mourn for him. He says, me, and then they turn around and calls it him. Because you're back talking about him again. There's a revelation right there. As one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him that is one in bitterness for his firstborn. This points toward the Jesus Christ who is pierced in the New Testament. He was Yahweh. And yet it's called the angel of Yahweh. Now let's go back in Exodus chapter 6. Got two more links to bring you. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 1. Then the Lord, notice that word is Yahweh again. Then Yahweh said unto Moses, now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh, for with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And Elohim, or God, spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am Yahweh. Elohim said, I am Yahweh. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of El Shaddai, God Almighty, El Shaddai, Almighty God. But by my name Jehovah, or the older form is Yahweh, it's the same one as we see capital L-O-R-D, it's the same thing in Hebrew. By my name Yahweh was I not known unto them. He said, I have not been known unto Abraham and others before. My name, Yahweh, has not been known. I appeared unto them as El Shaddai, the Almighty God, as El, but not as Yahweh. My name had not been known to them at that time. Now, even though God appeared unto Abraham in chapter 17 and verse 1 of Genesis, saying, I am El Shaddai, or the Almighty God, be thou perfect and walk before him, yet on Mount Moriah, where Jesus was crucified, where he took Isaac as the father gave his son in type, there he called the angel Yahweh Yireh. Yahweh will provide. He called the name of the place Yahweh Yireh, for Yahweh has provided. The ram, caught in the thicket. He had a revelation, although he did not know and have the revelation of Yahweh, the really full revelation of Yahweh, he, by anticipation, by the Spirit, even as Moses, by the Spirit, renamed Joshua, Oshea, the son of Nun, Yahoshea, combining Yahweh and Oshea, so also he used that name. that he did not fully understand according to the book of Exodus. Because Yahweh is the covenant-keeping name. And with Moses, he made a covenant with Israel that day, and they killed a lamb, and they took half the blood on the altar and half in a basin. And they sprinkled it on the basin on the people and made a blood covenant, and God made a covenant with them that day. And God said, all that are on the Lord's side come over hill, Moses said. And the people said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And God made a covenant with them, and he became a covenant-keeping God. And he said, Yahweh is my name forever. That is my name forever, the scripture says. Elohim was not his name. Yahweh was his name forever. Now, Jacob saw a vision, and he saw a staircase in Hebrew, and above the staircase the door opened, and he saw Yahweh standing above that staircase, scripture says. And then it says in the King James Bible, he saw the angels, plural, ascending and descending on that staircase. The King James calls it ladder. But in the book of John, chapter 1 and verse 51, we see what he really saw. And in John 1:51, and I'm going to show you something I never saw before today. And he said unto him, Jesus said, verily, verily, two trulies, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Now, Jesus was that ladder. He was that staircase. And the angels of God ascending and descending upon Christ, who is the mediator between heaven and earth. Although Jesus is called Yahweh, the Savior, you should call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. His name should be called Emmanuel, which is being interpreted as El with us. See, Jesus means Yahweh, the Savior. When Moses had finished, Moses was the type of Christ bringing Israel out of Egypt, sin, crossed the Red Sea, baptism, were baptized into Moses in the sea and in the cloud, the scripture says, and down to Mount Sinai 50 days later at Pentecost, into the wilderness to Canaan's land. When he finished his course, he was turning it over to Joshua, who was also going to represent Christ, who takes him into the land to overcome. And so Moses saw this man. His name wasn't Joshua. His name was Oshea, according to the book of Numbers, the son of Nun. By the Spirit, Moses recognized him as the type of the greater Savior, and he renamed him and took the contraction Yah, we say Hallelujah, meaning praise ye Yah, or praise ye Yahweh, the contraction for Yahweh, and he took that Yah and added it to Oshea and became Hoshea, or Yahashua, or Yahshua. And, put the J on it, Joshua, Hallelujah, J-A-H, Yah, and became Joshua, or Yahshua, actually Yahshua, and then Joshua. But then the form that it was derived became to Jeshua, or Yeshua, and then into Yesu, or Jesus, which is Greek for Jesus. And Jesus is Latin, and also English. Jesus, and Joshua are the same in Greek. In Hebrews, when it said, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? The theologians are divided whether it's Joshua or Jesus, because the Greek is the same in both cases. In the Old Testament Greek, every place you see Joshua, it says Jesus, which is the same as Jesus in the New Testament. The name is the same, because Joshua wasn't really Joshua. He only bore the name. He was Oshea. It means Yahweh, the Savior. Because that is my name forever. So Abraham saw he was Yahweh Yireh, Yahweh who provides. And down through the period of time, he saw he was Yahweh Shammah, the Lord Banner? It was a peace. Never forgot it to this moment. Yahweh Tzidkenu, Yahweh our righteousness, and Yahweh Ra'ah, the Lord our healer, and Yahweh Rapha, the Lord our shepherd, and then finally Yahweh Oshea, the Lord our Savior, Yahshua, Jesus. Now, in the Hebrew, where the Scripture says he saw the angels of God ascending and descending, the singular and plural form are identical. The only difference is the vowel pointing. The vowel pointing makes it plural. But the vowel pointing is not in the original. It was added by Jewish tradition later, who knows nothing about Jesus and would never make it. You could read that, and the angel the angel of the Lord ascending and descending, the angels of God, let me check this out. It's angels of Yahweh, angel of God. The angels, or it could be the angel of Yahweh or the angel of God, whichever it is, though. The angel ascending and descending. It could represent either the angels, as we see in the New Testament, or it could be singular, either way. Now, we see that Jesus was that staircase, Yahweh. We also see he was the one that stood above it. He stood above it as... But he ascended and descended as the Son of Man, who is coming again, who is the mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. The mediator, the man Christ Jesus. He's coming back again, you see. The one who went away as a man is coming back in all the glory of his Father. Now let's look at Exodus chapter 3. I've got to hurry. I'm taking longer than I expected. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. He saw God in the bush. That was the angel of Yahweh, the Scripture says. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. That's the same one that they called a man before. We see him in the bush. And then we see in verse 4, and when Yahweh saw that he turned aside to see, Elohim called unto him out of the midst of the bush. It called it the angel of Yahweh in verse 2. It calls it Elohim in verse 4. Called him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Let me just check something real quick. Yes, okay. Look at verse 13. And Moses said unto God, unto Yahweh, who was in the bush, who was called the angel of Yahweh, called Elohim. Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the Elohim of your fathers has sent me unto you, and they say unto me, what is his name? What shall I say unto them? And Elohim said unto Moses, I am that I am. Eya Asher Eya. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, Eya hath sent me unto you. I am hath sent me. Now, Eya happens to be the first person of Yahweh. Yahweh is the third person. Eya is the first person. I am in Hebrew is the same as Yahweh. One is only I, and the other I am, the other is he is. Yahweh is he is. Now, except it's in the indefinite form, meaning he was and is and shall be and causes to be, all four forms. Now, I have to bring you this, and then I close. In the book of John, if you turn there, in verse 6, I know it's taken a long time tonight, longer than I really hoped for. We see the angel of the Lord in the form of a man over and over again in the Old Testament. And we find it was God manifest in the flesh. Right? It was a... Now, okay. We've seen that over and over again. And we see that he calls himself the I Am, this angel of the Lord. Now, John 6:19. So when they had rowed, this is the disciples in the Sea of Galilee, about 25 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus, Yeshua, walking on the sea and drawing nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. But he said unto them, "It is I, be not afraid." In the other scripture, I think it is, he says, "I am, be not afraid." And in chapter 7, I guess it's in the other gospel, chapter 7 and verse 37, "In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus said, Come unto me and drink, and he spake this of the Spirit, the Holy Ghost." Speaking as God, not as man, speaking as the Holy Ghost. "Come and drink of me, and I will give you the water." And then in chapter 8, in verse 12, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world." Now, I know you can read it, "I am the light of the world." You also can read it, "I am the light of the world." Now, he was speaking not in Greek. He was not saying, "Ego am I." He was speaking, he's speaking in Aramaic, which uses the Hebrew for the proper names, which is Yahweh, or I am, or Eya. So he would be saying, "Eya, the light of the world," if he was using that name. Now, the marvelous thing is that here Jesus, on the great day of the feast, the last and the seventh day, as the high priest was standing, representing God himself, pouring the water and the wine together into the under the great altar, and it ran out a crack in the side, even as Jesus came out of his side when they punched it with a spear, both blood and water, and the wine representing the blood, Jesus stood and cried, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." He was speaking as God. And then night fell, and the priest took torches and began walking with lights. And when Jesus saw it, he said, "I am the light of the world. I am." But you see, there is, this is the point I'm going to say, that you cannot absolutely prove, but wait till I put it together. You cannot absolutely prove that he was making a play on the Hebrew word Eyah, which is the same as I am of the Old Testament. Because you can just say, "I am the light of the world." You don't know for sure. But I rather suspect he was, because of everything else. But he's making a play on the word, because notice how the revelation develops. Notice how he sinks it in here. Look at verse 19 of the same chapter. "Then said they unto him, Where is thy father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. If you known me as the Son, the man, you should have known my Father, the deity also." Look at verse 23. "Then he said unto them, Ye are from beneath. I am from above. I am from above. I am from above. Ye are this world. I am not of this world. I am not of this world." Now, this is a play on words. We cannot prove it yet, but notice. "I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins." Notice the word "he"? It's italics. It does not have the same print as the rest. Why? That's the key in the King James Version for meaning it's not in the Greek. And so the "he" is not there. "If you believe not that I am, you shall die in your sins." Even if you read it, "I am he," you'd have to be referring back to "I am he," of which you Jews should be believing, the God of the Old Testament. But he said, "I am, I am, I am," and this time he said it in a way that you can't mistake it. Which means he said, "If you believe not that, I am, the I am of the Old Testament." Notice how he develops this. "Then said they unto him, Who art thou?"
Because they saw him around all the time, the son of Joseph. And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said it unto you from the beginning. He wouldn't say, well, I am the man of Nazareth downhill. You know me, the carpenter's son. No, they knew he was talking about something more than that. And he was talking about something more than that. I have many things to say and to judge of you of. But he that sent me is true, and so forth. Now, look at verse 28. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am. And the word he is italicized again, meaning it's not in the Greek. He didn't say to know I am he. He said, then you shall know that I am. And I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And then look at verse 58. Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And there isn't even a he he'll put in. How can you use a sentence like that? Before he was, I am. You mean before he was, you were? No, before he was, I am. Before he was, Eya, the I am. Divinity, not pre-incarnate son, but everlasting God. Look at chapter 9, verse 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which is blind from his birth. Oops, that isn't the right one. Where's it going? Look at 10 and verse 30. He said, I and my Father are one. Then in 14, chapter 14, and verse 6, he says, Jesus said unto him, to Philip, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you? And yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not thou that I am in the Father, that's positionally, and the Father in me, actually? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, not as man, but the Father, that's deity, that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. The Father dwelt in him. In Isaiah, he was called, the child shall be born, a son shall be given, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty El, and the Everlasting Father. Now, I didn't write these scriptures. This is just the revelation out of them. Now, look at verse 17. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you. He's right with you right now, Jesus said, but shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come unto you. And in verse 26, he said, but when the Comforter has come, he's called the Holy Ghost. What was that? Verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now, look at chapter 18. We're almost done. Look at chapter 18 and verse 5. They answered him, Jesus, he asked, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am. The he is italicized again. It's not in the Greek. I am. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am, that he's not italicized again, they went backward and fell to the ground. Now, they had been talking with Jesus, walking all the time, come up to him and say, Jesus said, who do you seek? And he says, we seek Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. I mean, you am. Everybody knows you am. He's speaking to Jesus. What would cause them, as soon as he said, I am, they went backwards and fell to the ground? The high priest, which came up with authority, with Roman soldiers to take him. Why did they go back and fall to the ground? They argued with him before. But now he said, whom seek ye? And he said, Elia. They knew that was the first person of Yahweh. And only the high priest, and the high priest came with him, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement did they go into the Holy of Holies, and there they pronounced the name Yahweh for the sins of Israel that day. And they asked who he was, and he gave the name without the mercy seat. I'm Yahweh. I'm Eliel. I am. And they immediately got, and God backed it up with power that I am of who appeared to Abraham in the burning bush, and they went back and fell to the ground. Got knocked right down by the power invested in him through that name. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? As they lay in the ground. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I have told you that I am. And that he is italicized again. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way. I am. Now, one more account. There was a storm brewing, and the disciples were rowing hard to get to shore, and Jesus was walking on the water, and the scripture said they thought it was a phantasma, an apparition. And they cried out for fear. And Peter got a glimpse of a possible revelation there. And he said, Jesus, if that's you, bid me come to you on the water. And Jesus said, it's me, come on. No, that's not what he said. He said, I am, come. And he jumped out of the boat and started running across that water. It can't be by accident that all of these I ams that don't fit normal Greek sentences, that isn't the way he speaks any place else. All the rest of the I ams you read throughout the whole rest of the epistles and the book of John and 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, nowhere do you see an I am like that. But right here, collected together. Now, in closing, I want to read you these scriptures, and then I close. I've got them written down. Don't bother turning to them. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, godlikeness. God was manifest in the flesh. Colossians 1:15, who is in the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Hebrews 1:1 and 2, God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, Greek is in the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us, and the Greek is in his Son. He's spoken to us in his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. 2 Corinthians 5:19, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was in Christ, not imputing the trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. 2 Corinthians 4:6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that's where you see the glory of God. Who is this Jesus? Yahweh Elohim, the angel of the Lord of the Old Testament. But God manifested himself in different ways, in the burning bush, in the angel of the Lord, in the glory cloud, and in the fiery furnace, and all these, to Manoah, and all of these as a man, as the angel of the Lord. But in these last days, born of a virgin, a different body than that one which came and jumped in the fire and went up and disappeared. See, that was just a temporary manifestation. But now hath appeared in a permanent body, Jesus Christ, that arose from the dead and was glorified, according to the scriptures. And the Bible says, we also, in the moment of a twinkling of an eye, shall be changed. We shall be glorified. This corruption shall put on incorruption. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. That is who this Jesus is, the I am of the Old Testament. Before Abraham was, I am. Would you stand, please?